In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared. Since we are gathered here to hear God's word and call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship at this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us. Forgive us our sins and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God in his mercy has given his Son to die for you and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of the word, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Together. When he calls me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High who is my refuge. No evil shall allow to befall you, no plague come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you, to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. For the gift of divine peace and of pardon, with all our heart, with all our mind, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. For the Holy Christian Church, here and scattered throughout the world, and for the proclamation of the gospel and the calling of all to faith, Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. For this nation, for our cities and communities, and for the common welfare of us all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. For seasonable weather and for the fruitfulness of the earth, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. For those who labor, those who work is difficult or dangerous, for all who travel, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. For all those in need, for the hungry and homeless, for the widowed and orphaned, and for all those in prison, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. For the sick and the dying, and for all those who care for them, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. For these and for all our needs of body and soul, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O Lord God, you led your ancient people through the wilderness and brought them to the promised land. Guide the people of your church that following our Savior, we may walk through the wilderness of this world toward the glory of the world to come. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please, you may be seated. Our first lesson comes today from Genesis 22. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. He said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you have loved, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering and rose and went to the place where God had told him. On the third day, Abram lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and laid it on his son Isaac. And he took it in his hands, the fire and the knife. So they both went together. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, my father, he said, here I am, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abram said, God will provide himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. So they went, both of them, together. When they came to the place of which God told them, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. He said, Do not lay a hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing that you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of the place, The Lord will provide. As it said to this day, On the mountain of the Lord it shall be provided. And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, By myself I've sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven, as the sand that is on the seashore, and on your offering shall it possess the gate of his enemies, and in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. This is the word of the Lord. Please join me. Oh, come, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. The epistle lesson today comes from James chapter 1. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I'm being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it is conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's fully grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. This is the word of the Lord. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Please rise. Our Holy Gospel today comes from Mark 1, chapter 1. Glory to you, O Lord. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens opening and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased. The Spirit immediately drove him into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days being tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild animals, and the angels were ministering to him. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee performing the gospel of God and saying, The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. This is the gospel of our Lord. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made. He for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated for the hymn. The text was the gospel lesson we read a few minutes ago, Dearly Beloved in Christ. I'll tell you a little story. Back when I was in the seminary, it was the first time that I got to serve as a chaplain that morning, and I was to help lead the service. The hymn was, stand up for Jesus. I turned around and told everybody to sit down. They roared. I knew better, but nevertheless, that was the way it was. Stand up for Jesus, y'all all be seated. Made no sense. The reality is, of course, they teased me the rest of the classes that day how I didn't know what I was doing. And that's true. It's taken me a long time to still not know what I'm doing. The Lord has actually broken through the stronghold of devil himself. With his birth in Bethlehem, with his crucifixion on the cross, with his rest in the tomb, with his glorious resurrection and ascension to the right hand of the Father, the King of our Lord, Jesus Christ, has stated where he stands against sin and against evil. He stands there for Israel, and he stands also there for you and me. The King has come. The domination of this world, that dominion of the world has now all been gone. The Lord Jesus Christ has conquered the Satan and all of his worldly ways and all of his evil deeds. With his baptism in the Jordan River, Jesus sees that the heavens themselves are torn apart. And then the voice, the heaven is opened where people could look inside. And then the voice came from heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son, listen to him." The Spirit descended, landed on Jesus, and that voice led him shortly with that Spirit, led him into the wilderness. In fact, our text today says in Mark, the Spirit drove Jesus into the desert. The adversary has a grip on all of us, and it had a grip on trying to conquer Jesus himself, but he would not succeed. Everything that Jesus does, everything that he says it and does it for you and for me. And it's offensive to Satan. He hates it that Jesus has overcome the sin, death, and the power of the devil. He hates it. And all the words of Jesus are always an attack on the very person of Satan himself and how he attacks his people. The deeds are against the powers of the devil and all of his ways and all his works. The devil deceives men, women, children, all of us. It binds our conscience and torments our soul. But the Lord has broken through Satan's domination. Dominion, and actually has put him in his place. Thus Jesus, having been baptized, was connected with you and me. In the waters of holy baptism, our Lord Jesus gets into the dirty water which we were there because of our sin. And our baptism, our sins washed away, and Jesus gets through that water, and he takes all of those sins upon himself as the very Son of God. And this is a beautiful gift that God has given to us in his Son, Jesus, that Jesus has satisfied the demands of the Father in heaven and of God itself, and has now given you and me the promise of dominion for us, you and me, the crown that will ultimately be given to us. In the book of James, the words are beautiful. James said, "This is the perfect gift. Come down from the Father of lights." With Jesus, there is no variation, there's no shadow, there's no turning. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Jesus will not change his mind about you. He loves you. He's taken your sins. He took them all away to the baptism waters, and then he then goes out to the wilderness. Notice the text says that the Holy Spirit drove him into the wilderness. It's not against his will. He was willing to go out there, but the reality is no chit-chat and time for John the Baptist and Jesus to talk. There's work to be done, and so the Spirit drives Jesus into the wilderness. Yesterday I had a wedding in a venue in Rocheron. Y'all know where Rocheron is. I tell you, I know what wilderness is. That is nothing out there. When I come over here, I see these beautiful lands with all the beautiful plants, and I know the garden, the planting is getting ready to take place. I see all the plowed fields. But there, at where I was, there was nothing. Nobody could build a house out there. Nobody could live out there. There's no, in fact, we were way out. In the venue that they had selected. They had a party the first night, reception for the rehearsal. And then the next night, it was a different place and in Rocheron. But I went to the wrong address and had to come back again. I was crazy. It was life. But that was life in the fast lane. I was actually crazy to do that. But our Lord Jesus today says he steps out of the water of holy baptism and he walks right to the temptations that will be delivered to him. Now, Mark doesn't tell us about all the temptations. Matthew and Luke give us some idea of what kinds of things Satan would do for Jesus or tell him to do, and Jesus refused to do it because he relied on the Word of God. At each step Jesus takes into that wilderness, he stomps on the head of Satan each and every time. The grounds tumble and tremble under his feet, and Satan has to slither away. Remember in the Old Testament, that's what God told them, that the serpent would be on his belly for the rest of all his days, eating dust. That's the way Satan is. eating dust, and yet each and every day he tries to trample you and me. And Satan cowers when the word is, the word is, this is my body, this is my blood. Those things drive Satan crazy. So our Lord today is in the wilderness, baptized now, bearing the blessing of his Father in heaven. He now is walks in the Spirit, and the Spirit drives him out of the promised land, out of the time of peace and quiet, into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. There's a connection with 40. You probably already know that. 40 days in the wilderness, 40 years in the wilderness, connects with 40 days with Christ in the wilderness. So the wilderness of the Old Testament is now 40 years. Now it's 40 days that Jesus is now in with the beast of the world, the beast. Notice that it says with the wild beasts, thorns and thistles dwell there. Satan has found his retreat. And there in the wilderness, Jesus fasts, doesn't eat. He prays, and he goes to war. He's tempted by Satan in many ways, the same as you and me. He, angels, though, come to minister to him when the temptations are over with. Take note of your baptism. Not only are you connected to Christ, but you are brought safely through the waters into a kingdom that shall never end. You and I both, all of us, have that kingdom that is to be delivered by Jesus himself, and we don't deserve it. But that's the beauty of it. The Lord Jesus certainly does not wait around, and God the Father doesn't wait around to you and me get our hearts right, because we're never going to get our hearts right. Instead, he comes into our lives through the waters of holy baptism. Again, we renewed and we reminded of that day when we were baptized. Maybe you don't even remember it. I don't remember my baptism, baptized as a young son, young child. But the reality is, it doesn't matter whether I remember it or not. That's not the question. If the question is, does God remember that I'm baptized? And the answer is a resounding yes. He knows your baptism. He knows that you are a part of his church. He knows that when we gather together on Sunday morning, we're not only hearing the word of God, but we're receiving the forgiveness of our sins. When the pastor says, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, what are we to believe? We are to believe that all of our sins, every last one of them, has been drowned with Satan in the waters of holy baptism. And then what does he do? He brings us to the altar, a place of comfort and joy, where Jesus gives to us his body and blood. He says, take and eat, this is my body. And take and drink, this is my blood. It doesn't symbolize anything. It doesn't look like things. It is the reality that Jesus gives to you and me today at the altar, his body and blood, as a promise and token that he will never forsake us, he will never leave us, and that he will always be with us, even in the darkest times of our life. So when things are going bad against us, remember the passage that comes from James. Each one, when he's tempted, is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. And then when desires conceive, gives birth to sin. Sin, when it's full-blown, brings forth death. But you and I know that Jesus is the Father of all lights and that he shines into our dark place and takes away the sins that are tearing us apart. Suffering feels bad, by the way. I don't like suffering. Any of you like suffering? No. Nobody likes the suffering. Yet we do. The world says whatever we want you to do, just enjoy your life, do whatever you want, doesn't matter. Do what's right, and do what you think is right. Well, that's nonsense, because our Lord Jesus has given us a way to follow him. But there are addictions. There are addictions in our world, things that are hard to conquer. Drugs, alcohol, desires that we don't need, and then we fall into despair. Those are things that work against us. Satan is trying to trick us. He's trying to lure us back into the world in which we're totally against. And Satan knows this. The devil, the world, and our own nature know that these are the wrong things. And Satan uses it to destroy the church. He works to take this congregation apart. Not only this one, but all the others. He is there working to take us away, from the kingdom of our Lord. Even some of these large churches, that always drives us crazy when we go and see all these big churches that have all those cars and everything in front of them. There are thousands of people there. But the turnover rate in those churches is awful. Those people don't come back each and every week. Lots of times they slip out the back door too. And that's the church being under pressure, under the Satan's prey. He wants to devour us. We're in the wilderness with the wild beasts, and our temptations are, well, why bother to go to church? What can we do there? We've heard the sermon the same as it always is. But yet, when we come to our church, when we come here, we're coming here so that God can speak to us. Not that we preach to Him, but that He speaks to us. And the liturgy is so beautiful because we speak back to Jesus the very words He has given us in the gospel. So some of these churches that are, I call them COOs or contemporary worship services and things like that, they miss the point. They miss the Lord Jesus. And so much of their hymny is not really any good. It's tunes that don't make any sense. But you and I come here, and the tunes make sense. They draw us to our Lord Jesus. Stand up for Jesus, you soldiers of the cross. Lift high the royal banner. It cannot suffer loss. It must not. From victory unto victory, His army shall He lead till every foe is vanquished, and Christ is Lord indeed. You and I, we are a part of the army of our Lord. The Lord Jesus sends us out into the world and do battle. Just like He did battle in the wilderness, that's what you and I do. We do battle. We do battle with some of our family. I do it. I get with my grandkids and I have a fit with those kids. I ring them with theology one way or the other and they say, oh, Grandpa, you need to go home. But I don't go home. I hit them with some more and they want to give me all this stuff and I say, well, let's see what the Word of the Lord says. And let's go there. Let's see what the Lord God says. And so I don't give the temptation time for us to run me away from my grandchildren. I want to speak to them the truth so that they'll know it. And one of these days when I'm long gone, maybe they'll remember just some of the things that I have taught them, some of the things that they need to know for their future. So Jesus comes to the wilderness to fight the devil and all the works and ways, and then He goes to the cross of Calvary. And there, when He finally takes the beatings and the spit and the anger and the hostility of people that hate Him, putting Him on the cross, crucifying Him, totally seemingly helpless, and yet the Lord Jesus Christ, when He goes to the cross, is actually taking His seat on the throne of God. For you see, it is Christ through the cross that is salvation. The cross is the power of God into salvation. Not the worldly powers, but God gives us the cross. So whenever we worry about the things that go on in our lives and frustrating, we can say, yes, but you were crucified for me. You died for me. And you gave me a new life that I didn't deserve, but you gave it to me anyway. So the Lord Jesus takes our sins, all of them, even the little ones, the things that we don't even think are sinful. He takes them all, gobbles it up, and He dies. And then by the same wonderful blessing, God the Father gives to us all of the holiness and righteousness that belong to Him. Beloved in the Lord, children of God, He says, He makes us children of God. If we're children, we receive the inheritance. That's the beauty of the kingdom that's yet to be revealed. So therefore, people of God, in your baptism, our Lord Jesus has chosen you to be His army. We, as small as we are the army of God. When we leave here, we go to battle with sometimes the frustrations of the world is all around us, sickness and hurts and anger, all of those things that deal terribly with us. The old Adam, however, has been crucified. He has died. He has been buried in the waters of your holy baptism. And then a new man comes forth. Out of the waters of holy baptism. I didn't remember when I was baptized, but I know that when the pastor pulled me out and put water on my head, and I was probably wet all over by that time, our Lord Jesus did not ever forget me, even though I can't remember when that event take place. The old Adam was crucified and died, and he can't control us anymore. The new man has been reborn. So to speak, we say born again. It's born from heaven. That's what the term means. And baptized Christians know that our Lord Jesus is with us in the deepest battles we face, especially when we have loved ones that are sick, especially when we're sick ourselves, especially when you think that there's nothing going to help us. Jesus is there to help us. There's a war going on right now for your very soul. Satan wants it. He wants it dearly. But the King has come and he has staked his claim on you and on your heart and on your soul. You have been marked by your baptism with the cross, and you are his dear children, all of them. Citizens of an eternal kingdom, not just citizens of the United States of America, but citizens of a new kingdom which is yet to be seen. Recall this. Believe this. Use it against the devil's temptation. Chase him away. Rub his nose in your baptism. In the name of Jesus, tell him where to go. For you see, we repent and we believe the gospel so that even the gates of hell will not prevail against us. In the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses our human understanding, may it keep your hearts and minds in true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. We rise for the prayers of the day. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For faith to follow our Lord Jesus and resist temptation, that we would come through this fallen world to dwell with him forever, let us pray to the Lord. For the church of God, guarded by the Lord who bore the wood of the cross, that her ministers and people may be certain that the gates of hell cannot prevail against it, and for boldness of faith that we may trample every power of the enemy underfoot. Let us pray to the Lord. For all those catechumens, those in being instructed in the faith, and their teachers and children and parents in every Christian home, that God would preserve us from all assaults of the evil one. And as Christ overcame Satan in the desert by the word of God, give us the victory through him and his word. Let us pray to the Lord. To the Father of lights, from whom every good and perfect gift comes, that he would keep us from all sinful desires and misuse of his gifts, for his help to use them in service to our neighbor, and that we would bless Joseph and all the leaders who govern us wisely for the good of this and future generations. Let us pray to the Lord. And for the brothers and sisters who suffer in our midst, especially those who are in our prayer list. They get so long and so many. And that God Most High would be their refuge in every trouble, would command his holy angels to keep them from every evil of body, mind, and soul. Let us pray to the Lord. For those who commune, that in the Blessed Sacrament they would acknowledge the time fulfilled and the kingdom is at hand in Jesus Christ. Receiving his body and blood with repentance and faith, let us pray to the Lord. Lord God, Heavenly Father, see how the adversary continually afflicts us and walks around as a roaring lion seeking to devour us. We implore you that for the sake of the suffering and death of your Son, Jesus Christ, help us by your grace with the Holy Spirit to strengthen our hearts with your word, that our enemies would not prevail over us, but instead that we may abide evermore in your grace and be preserved in life everlasting. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. The hymn is Jesus, Your Blood and Righteousness. We give thee but thine own, whatever the gift may be, all that we have is thine alone, a trust, O Lord, from thee. Amen. We rise. Oh, you already rise. That's the way it did in chapel too. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Right, to give Him thanks. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who overcame the assaults of the devil and gave His life as a ransom for many, that with cleansed hearts we might be prepared joyfully to celebrate the Paschal feast in sincerity and truth. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and singing.
Heaven and earth with full acclaim shout the glory of your name. Sing Hosanna in the highest. Sing Hosanna to the Lord. Truly blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of all creation. For you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. At your command, Abraham prepared to offer his son Isaac as a sacrifice on the mountain, yet in mercy you provided a ram as a substitute. And we give you thanks that on Calvary you spared not your only son, but you sent him to offer his life as a ransom for many. As we eat and drink his body and blood, grant us, like Abraham our father, to trust in your promises now fulfilled in Christ, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took a cup after supper. When he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink of this, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us to the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give to you always his peace. Amen. Today is Luther, the day of Luther's death. So naturally, this is a special tune for him. This is the Mighty Fortress, which is Luther's fortress tune. Yeah, what I'm trying to say.